Hello and welcome to All Things Relative. I am your host, writer and narrator, Rishit Gadre. Today, I'm going to talk about the most basic concept of one of the most brilliant theories of the 20th century, general relativity, with the help of trains, lightning bolts and trampolines. The arguably greatest minds of the 20th century, Albert Einstein, sat at his desk in the Swiss Federal Office in Bern, working as a patent clerk. He would spend countless hours during his work shift daydreaming. Well known for his radical imaginative experiments, he conducted a new thought experiment. He imagined being in a room with no windows on a spaceship traveling upwards at an acceleration of 9.8 meter per second square, same as the acceleration caused by the Earth's gravity. He held a torch in his hand that he switched on. Since the room was accelerating upwards, he theorized that light rays from the torch would bend slightly downwards. Now, he conducted the same experiment in a room on Earth. On Earth, the general knowledge is that light travels in a straight path. According to Einstein, this should not be the case as it goes against the law of equivalence because in both the scenarios, the amount of acceleration was the same. Thus, the way in which the light reacted should have also been the same. He proposed the idea that light took the shortest possible path and said that it actually did bend on Earth. He claimed that the shortest path the light could take was actually a curve because of the curvature in space-time. He proved this concept in his paper on the theory of general relativity. Before we understand the concept of general relativity, let's wrap our heads around the concept of gravity. Sir Isaac Newton spoke about gravity in Principia and said that it was the force of attraction that two objects exerted on each other. This gravitational force is greater when the mass exerting it is heavier. He also spoke about the velocity being relative. This means that velocity one measures of an object is relative to one's own velocity. Imagine two trains moving at the same velocity of 30 km per hour in the north direction. If you stand on one of the trains and look at the other, you will feel that the other is stationary. On the other hand, if you were standing on the station, which represents a stationary plane of observation, you would be able to see that the trains are moving at 30 km per hour, thus proving that velocity of an object depends upon the viewing reference. On the other hand, James Clerk Maxwell had proved that light, being an electromagnetic wave, had a constant speed of a whopping 3 into 10 raised to the power of 8 meter per second, regardless of where it was viewed from. This contradicted Newton's relative velocity law and was a source of great confusion for Einstein. To understand this better, I urge you to conduct another thought experiment. Imagine yourself standing on a train platform, witnessing two lightning bolts strike on either side. Since you are standing at the center, right in the middle of the two strikes, you receive the light from both lightning bolts at the same time. Now imagine a train passing through the station at the speed of light, watching this lightning event transpire. A passenger on the train would see the lightning bolts hit in a sequential pattern, one before the other, because the train is moving from left to right. Thus, it would seem to the passenger as if the lightning bolt that hit the ground first reached you before. This creates a discrepancy as the speed of light measured has different magnitudes in both the scenarios. Einstein thought of a solution, a small tweak to the law of Newton by creating a rather unusual variable, time. He proposed that time dilation took place, but simply meaning that time for the man on the train would have slowed down to account for the difference in the speed of the two lightning bolts. He realized that time slowed down as we appeared to move closer to the speed of light. So, he allocated time its own dimension, just like space. Thus, the three pre-existing planar space dimensions and the new time dimension together formed a four-dimensional continuum called space-time. Space-time can be referred to as an enormous graph paper that has space on one axis and time on the other. Einstein theorized that space-time bent in relation to the mass that acted on it. The heavier the mass, the greater the bend in space-time. The space-time graph can be imagined as a simple trampoline. Imagine placing a bowling ball, which represents the mass, in the center of the trampoline. This will cause it to curve downwards. When you roll a smaller mass, say a marble ball, towards the center of the trampoline, you will see it curve along the slope, revolving around the bowling ball. Einstein used this phenomena to create a set of equations called the Einstein field equations to understand how space-time curves with different masses and how this curving causes objects to orbit around said mass. This process of an object falling into the slope is nothing but gravity. In layman's terms, Einstein said that all of space was filled with a four-dimensional continuum called space-time. Space-time was like a graph which curved when large masses were placed on it. More the mass, the steeper the curve. This curvature caused smaller objects to revolve around the larger object, thereby explaining gravity. The heavy sun, represented by the bowling ball, creates a deep curvature in space-time. The planets, represented by the tiny marble ball, are trapped in the gravitational field of the sun and thus revolve around it. Finally, let me quote John Wheeler, an American physicist. Space-time tells matter how to move. Matter tells space-time how to curve. Thanks for tuning into All Things Relative. Feel free to share and hit follow. This is Rishit Gadre signing off. Thank you.